So, I'll speak from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 11, text 14, canto 11, chapter 14, several verses beginning from text 12. Very instructive and sweet instructions given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, to his very dear devotee, Uddhava. Srimad Bhagavatam is the most important book in existence. In fact, if all other books went out of existence and only Bhagavatam remained, there wouldn't be a great loss to the world. And actually, most books that are in the world, it'd be better if they didn't exist, because they're simply distracting our attention from the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. The topic of Srimad, well, there are various topics. The ultimate topic, there are various topics categorized into 10. Of which the ultimate topic is ashraya, shelter. So Krishna is the shelter of everyone. And Krishna here, in this section of Bhagavatam, is speaking to Uddhava about pure devotional service to himself. Text 12. Maya arpita atmanah sabhya nirapekshasya saravataha mayatmana sukham yatat kutasyad vishayatmanam. O learned Uddhava, those who fix their consciousness in me, arpitatmanaha means one who has arpita, one who has offered or given themselves to me, giving up all material desires, nirapeksha, means is no relationship with this material world. He's fully offered himself to Krishna. Nirapekshasya saravataha, in all respects, fully surrendered to Krishna. Mayatmana sukham, the happiness that such a person derives from me, or being with me, or being surrendered to me, Krishna says, cannot possibly be experienced by persons engaged in sense gratification. Krishna continues, akinchanasya dantasya shantasya samachetasaha maya santushta manasa saravah sukamaya dishaha. A person, Krishna says, who does not desire anything in this world, who is peaceful because he has controlled his senses, whose consciousness is equal in all conditions, means you don't, this is discussed in Bhagavad Gita. Sukhe, what is this? Dukeshvanu vignamana sukeshu vigata spriha vita raga bhaya krodha stitadhiya muni ruchate. Someone who, when in the course of time, this happens to everyone, people get opportunities for enjoying material happiness. But such a person who does not become elated, he doesn't think, oh, now I won a crore of rupees in the lottery, so now I'm happy. Or he doesn't become distressed, now I lost a crore of rupees, cheated of all my money, So when there is cause for distress, he doesn't become distressed. When there is cause for material happiness, he doesn't become elated, because his happiness is on a completely different level, that of service to Krishna. So such a person, always satisfied in their mind, whatever the external circumstances may be, a person who is always satisfied in thinking of Krishna, remembering Krishna, he experiences everywhere, in all circumstances, a kind of happiness that cannot be experienced by persons who are trying to be happy in any other way than by surrendering to Krishna. Na parameshtyam na mahendra dhishnyam na sarvabhomam na rasadhipatyam na yoga siddhir apunar bhavam va may arpitat me chati madvinanyat. And Krishna gives some examples here in this verse. Of the topmost kind of happiness that can be perceived without Krishna consciousness. That which is called happiness. Actually, it's not happiness. But it is any kind of happiness outside of Krishna consciousness is not actual happiness. But because we do not have experience of the bliss of Krishna consciousness, we perceive other things than Krishna consciousness as happiness. An example is given in Shastra that a person has fallen off the edge of a mountain and he's caught onto some roots of a tree. Below him there is a very deep ravine, so if he falls, he'll smash his head and be killed. If he tries to go up, there's a tiger waiting for him to eat him on top. Meantime, some rats are chewing the root, so he has to fall down. He's in a very terrible position. But from the tree, which is he's holding onto the root of, which is overseeing the cliff, overhanging the cliff, there is a bee's nest, and some drops of honey are dripping down every minute or two. So every minute or two, he gets a drop of honey, and it comes just on his tongue, and he's thinking, this is wonderful. What a nice taste of this honey. You see, he's in such a dangerous position in all respects. But the little drop of honey, he's thinking it's very nice. So this is our situation in the material world. We are beset with danger and misery, but we think that material happiness is very nice because we don't have knowledge of Krishna consciousness. What to speak of their happiness? Kaimuttikanai. What to nyai? What to speak of the happiness that we perceive on this earth in this miserable Kali Yuga. In other yugas, people had much more happiness. In this Kali Yuga, what is happiness? Watching TV, that's called happiness? Pretty pathetic. Anyone who gets happiness out of watching TV, you have to feel sorry for them, that they are on such a low level of consciousness. They don't have anything better. But, Krishna says in this verse, which I just read, even if one got the position of Lord Brahma, which is unlimitedly, the happiness experience, the material happiness experience in that position is millions of times more than that of watching Tom and Jerry cartoons. Well, I guess Tom and Jerry is out of date now, but when I was a kid it was Tom and Jerry. Whatever. Cartoons or whatever, or watching the Miss World contest or the India cricket team on TV, or whatever it may be. The position of Lord Brahma, the position of Lord Indra. I mean, this is really high-class material happiness. This is as high as, this is as good as it gets in the material world. An empire on the earth. Or in the lower planetary systems, below the earth, there are lower planets in which the standard of enjoyment is even more than in the heavenly planets. Demoniac people, they enjoy there. And there are some kinds of yogis still in the Himalayas who are living in a cave for hundreds of years, some of them. Srila Prabhupada, when he came to the Kumbh Mela at Prayagraj, he told his disciples that some of the yogis here are over 1,000 years old. So that's yoga siddhi, that they can remain old for so long, and they can do such things. Apparently, previously, at Kumbh Mela, you could see the yogis flying in through the sky, not by airplanes, just by themselves, just going through the sky like that. So the yoga siddhis, you can do various things. You're sitting here in Mangalore, of course you don't find yogis here in Mangalore. Why would they come here? But they can transfer from one place to another at will. And when they feel they're ready, they can transfer to the higher planetary systems, even above the heavenly planets. So they have various mystic powers. They can see what's going on somewhere else. They can see what's going on in someone else's mind. These are yoga siddhis. And another kind of achievement within this material world is, well, not within this material world, it is to get out of this material world. So Krishna is mentioning here in this verse all various kinds of achievements or happiness. The highest kinds of achievements or happiness that one can attain outside of Krishna consciousness. The position of Lord Brahma, the position of Lord Indra, to be a great yogi, to become liberated from this material world. But Krishna says, a devotee who has fixed himself in me, fixed his consciousness in me, who loves me, who has no desire than to serve me, such a devotee does not desire any such position, doesn't desire anything, even such exalted happiness. What to speak of the petty, miserable happiness that people call happiness in Mangalore in 2012. Then, Krishna says, very famous verse, Natata me priyatama atma yonia na shankaraha na cha sankarshano na shriya naivatma chayata bhavan. Krishna says to Uddhava, my dear Uddhava, neither Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Sankarshan, the goddess of fortune, nor indeed my own self are as dear to me as you are. Vishwanath Chakravarti explains in his purport to this verse, his commentary, that Krishna is speaking in a general way about devotees who are dear to him. That because they devotees have no taste for anything in this material world, they do not desire anything in this material world, because they've completely given themselves to Krishna, then such devotees become very dear to Krishna. Even more dear, Krishna says, than Brahma, Shiva, Balaram, Lakshmi. So Krishna is speaking in a general way about devotees, and he was going to say, such a devotee is very dear to me. Then the verse would have finished. Naivatma chat yata bhakta. But Krishna said, Naivatma chat yata bhavan. And none of them are as dear to me as you are, Uddhava, because Uddhava is such a devotee. Krishna speaking in a general way, but bhakti, it's not just some general principles. We can study bhakti shastri courses, and we can learn all the things written in shastra. But more valuable even than studying shastra is to associate with pure devotees, as shastra states. It's a principle. We can get the marks in bhakti shastri. Yes, association with devotees is very important. But better than getting marks in bhakti shastri by writing association with pure devotees is very important, is to have association with devotees. Hari Shauri Prabhu, who was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who was Srila Prabhupada's personal servant for about 2.5 years, he stated that from the beginning of his tenure as Srila Prabhupada's personal servant, he realized that being with Srila Prabhupada, it's like living the Srimad Bhagavatam at every moment, because Srila Prabhupada is the living Srimad Bhagavatam. Whatever is stated in Bhagavatam, the principles of bhakti, Srila Prabhupada is practically living that. Not exactly by reading the book and trying to be like that, but as we are, as sadhakas, sadhaka means one who is attempting to be Krishna conscious according to the direction of shastra as given by devotees. But Srila Prabhupada is actually automatically in Krishna consciousness and living that. And specifically because, as we understand, he has come to this world to teach Krishna consciousness by practice and precept. So a great devotee, we say a great devotee like Srila Prabhupada, although we don't find great devotees like Srila Prabhupada loitering on every street corner. But such a great devotee is Murtiman. It's difficult to translate that in English, but living, existing, exemplar of all that is taught in Bhagavatam about pure devotional service and pure devotees. So Uddhava was such a devotee who Krishna was teaching. Krishna does not teach such things to others who are not devotees. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Not in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, this Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihasini Shuni Chaiva Svapakecha Pandita Samadarshanaha, that a learned person is samadarshi, he has equal vision toward a humble and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. So Krishna, he did not teach Bhagavad Gita to a gentle and learned brahmana. He spoke Bhagavad Gita to a fighter on a battlefield. In a battlefield, you have to make a distinction between friends and enemies. Otherwise, it's chaos. You kill everyone, and you kill your own soldiers as well as everyone else. You know, you go on a battlefield to kill, but not to kill everyone. You have to kill the enemy, not your own forces. So there is a distinction. There's no samadarshan on a battle. Make a point of that. The Krishna is very practical. Very practically speaking, he speaks. The message of Bhagavad Gita is to surrender to Krishna, to be a devotee of Krishna. Krishna speaks this to Arjuna. There would be no point in speaking it to Duryodhana. Krishna could have first of all, Duryodhana wouldn't have been willing to listen. And even if theoretically Duryodhana was willing to listen, he would have listened to Bhagavad Gita, and at the end he would say, yes, I understood everything. I'm the king of the world, and kill the Pandavas. He wouldn't have changed. He's a rascal. So Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita, very practical. The Samadarshan, Krishna's, Srila Prabhupada said, my Samadarshan is that Krishna consciousness should be preached to everyone. This is the real, because Srila Prabhupada, this is one time in Varada, I think. Somewhere in central India, Varada or Indore, I believe it was in Varada, Srila Prabhupada was speaking the message of Bhagavad Gita. So there are many verses in Bhagavad Gita like this. Namang duskritino murha prapadyante naradhamaha maya parita jnana asurang bhavam ashritaha. Krishna says that persons who are rascals do not surrender to me. They may be foolish rascals, lowest among men rascals, supposedly intelligent rascals who are actually fools, number one, and just out and out rascals. But they're rascals. Why are they rascals? Because they don't surrender to Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada was speaking like this, and some of the people became upset because they're not surrendered to Krishna. And they don't like to hear themselves described as rascals. They have this idea, love everyone, everyone's nice, everything's good, which is nonsense. There is good and there is bad in this world. There are good people and bad people. So people who are artificially saintly, they like to say, yes, everything is good, everything is nice. Sadhu should not criticize others. So they were criticizing Srila Prabhupada for criticizing others, which is contradictory. And they are, you see, they said, you're a sadhu, you should be a samadarshi. You should see everyone as equal. And Srila Prabhupada said that my samadarshan is that Krishna consciousness should be preached to everyone. Not only among the Hindus, but to everyone. So Krishna is very practical. His pure devotees are very practical. And we see here that Krishna is very practically saying to Uddhava, instead of saying that, well, my devotees who have completely surrendered to me, giving up all desires for sense gratification, even up to the level of Brahma, Indra, perfect yogis, or liberated persons who are only interested in me, they are more dear to me, Krishna says, than natatame priyatama atma, than Brahma, than Shiva, than Balaram, than Lakshmi. But Krishna, while speaking these general principles, he said to Uddhava, you are more dear to me, because Uddhava is such a devotee. And bhakti is not just some theoretical principles. You could say there's theoretical and practical, just like in, for instance, engineering, you study theoretical, then you have to apply it practically. So, Shastra is we could say, theoretical knowledge. And it may be that some people are very learned in Shastra, but they don't really understand it. There are many people who are very learned in Shastra, but they don't surrender to Krishna. And there may be even people who are very learned in Bhakti Shastra and have studied and can speak about all the, about Vaishnavism and talk the actual message of Krishna consciousness, but they don't follow it themselves very well. So both things are required. Theoretical knowledge and practical application. And of the two, practical application is more important. For a pure devotee, they may not be very learned in Shastra, but they know what is Shastra because they're fixed in the principle of Shastra, which is Atendriya Priti Vancha Tare Bale Kam Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Premanam. Who knows this? What does this mean? Have you heard this before? What I just said, it's a quote from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Anyone? Not you. I know you know it. Anyone else? There are many verses in Bhagavad Gita. Among you, have some learned verses from Bhagavad Gita? Are you learning? Anyone learning some verses? Please raise your hand. All right, so that's nice to learn verses from Gita. Then you can learn verses from Bhagavatam. Here is one verse in Bengali from Chaitanya Charitamrita that is the essence of everything that we need to know. So you can learn this one. Atendri, well, in that's Bengali pronunciation. I'll try and make it a little less Bengali. Atmendriya Priti Vancha Tare Bale Kam Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Premana. It's very easy to understand. Atma Indriya Vancha. The desire for personal sense enjoyment. Tare bale kam, that is called kama, material desire. Krishnendriya priti icha dhare premana, and the desire to satisfy Krishna's senses is called prem. So those who have come to Krishna consciousness sincerely, they wish to serve Krishna with prem. But the problem is that we are attached to kam, material desire. And along with kam comes all of kama's younger brothers. Kam, krodh, lobh, they all follow one after another. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion, pride. These are six. And there are many cousins, and you know, the head of the family is kama, the eldest brother, and all the others, there are many, you know, cousins and dadas and didis and all this kind of thing. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, kshut, trishna, there's so many material impediments. But the essence is to satisfy Krishna's senses. That is bhakti, which matures into prem. So that is the goal of the devotees. Krishna, what Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita is more elaborately described in this Uddhava Gita. Krishna spoke, this, what I'm reading now, these verses I read, is from what is called Uddhava Gita. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, that is very famous, in which he gave the summary of all the Upanishads to Arjuna. That was in a limited time. There was, I mean, you can't speak very long if there's everyone's all ready for a big battle. They've all assembled for a battle. Samaveta yuyutsavaha. They all came to fight. So you don't expect to have prolonged philosophical discussions on a battlefield. But later Krishna spoke in detail to Uddhava. The same principles, but in more detail. So this chapter begins with another well-known verse, well-known among those who study more deeply all these subjects. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Kalena Nashta Pralaye, Vani Yang Veda Sangita, Mayado Brahmane Prokta, Dharmo Yasyang Madatmakaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, by the influence of time, the transcendental sound of Vedic knowledge was lost at the time of annihilation. Therefore, when the subsequent creation took place, I spoke the Vedic knowledge to Brahma, because I myself am the religious principles enunciated in the Vedas. Lord Brahma spoke this Vedic knowledge to his eldest son, Manu, and the seven great sages headed by Bhrigu Muni then accepted the same knowledge from Manu. So this corresponds to the what Krishna says at the beginning of the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Imang vivasvate yogam proktavana hamavyam vivasvan manave praho manu rikshvakave bravit evang parampara praptam imang raja shayo viduhu. That long ago Krishna says, I spoke these teachings to the sun god, Vivasvan. He spoke to Manu, Manu spoke to Ikshvaku, and in this way it got handed down in due course of time. But Sakale Neha Mahata Yogo Nashta Parantapad. But in course of time that knowledge became spoiled, which means lost. So the same introduction to this knowledge is there. So there are many important teachings in this Srimad Bhagavatam. Many of them, they're very similar to teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Very helpful instructions. Bhadyamano pimad bhakto vishayair ajitendriyaha praya pragal bhaya bhaktya vishayair na bhibhuyate. Krishna says, if my devotee has not fully conquered his senses, he may be harassed by material desires, but because of his unflinching devotion for me, he will not be defeated by sense gratification. So this is very encouraging. Is it not for those of us who want to fully surrender to Krishna? But we find that even though we're trying to surrender to Krishna, due to past involvement with material life, we have so many bad impressions in our mind, and it seems that it's very difficult to get rid of that, those bad impressions. But Krishna says, if one has, even though we're harassed by material desires, if one has unflinching devotion for me, if one goes on with one's devotional service despite the harassment of material desires, Krishna says he will not be defeated by sense gratification. Yatagni su samridharchi karotye dhangsi bhasmasat tatamad vishaya bhaktir udhavainangshi kritsna nashaha. My dear Uddhava, just as a blazing fire turns firewood into ashes, similarly devotion unto me completely burns to ashes sins committed by my devotees. So we may see this, if we see all the material desires in our heart, it may seem like a huge pile, so many material desires. But Krishna says, if we have bhakti to Krishna, the fire of bhakti will burn it all up. Just like there may be a huge pile of wood,
But put a little, you start a little fire, and in a short time it's all reduced to ashes. So we have so many material desires, but bhakti destroys it all. Then some more very famous verses. Again, famous for those who study a little more deeply.
Nasadhyati mam yogo nasankhyam dharma udhava nasvadhyayo tapastyago yata bhaktir mamorjita.
My dear Uddhava, Krishna says, the unalloyed devotional service rendered to me by my devotees brings me under their control. Krishna comes under the control of his devotees. That is not possible by those who perform yoga. Yogis, they can get siddhis, like living for a long time, flying through the sky, reading others' minds. So that's exceptional, isn't it? Studying Sankhya philosophy, one becomes... Yeah, everyone else could kindly turn off their cell phone. Everyone has a cell phone, right? Anyone intelligent enough not to have a cell phone here? Or am I the only one? So, pious activities, following dharma, studying shastra, being renounced, performing austerities, these are all elevated activities, you could say, but they do not bring Krishna under control. Krishna comes under the control of his devotees. So how exalted is bhakti? Bhaktyaham ekaya grahya shraddhayatna priyasatam bhakti punati mannishtha svapakanapi sambhavat. Only by practicing unalloyed devotional service with full faith in me can one obtain me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am naturally dear to my devotees who take me as the only goal of their loving service. By engaging in such pure devotional service, even the dog eaters can become purified from the contamination of low birth. So Krishna is speaking the glories of bhakti, that by pure devotional service to him, the devotees, they become very dear to Krishna. And even if someone is born in a very fallen situation, they become completely purified by such devotional service to him. So these are the glories of devotional service. So please study Srimad Bhagavatam. Don't be lazy in that. We find that in student life, the students, they study so many books. So why not study Srimad Bhagavatam? The knowledge you get in one line of Srimad Bhagavatam is far more valuable than all the knowledge in all other books that you can get. I think, well, if I study medicine, I can get a medical degree. But that won't make you dear to Krishna. So ultimately, what is the value? What is the value of being a doctor or an engineer or a prime minister or whatever? Who is that? Someone just told me yesterday that nowadays some parents are thinking that why send my children to study all these things? Make them into a politician. It's better. Get big money. You don't have to study anything. See? So they're putting them in that line. Let everyone else work and pay their taxes, and you become a politician, you just cheat and this and that. And so, if you want a good career, better to be a politician. You might end up in jail for some time, but even in jail you'll have all facility, and then you can come out and go on with your cheating business. But ultimately, what is the value of anything? Even being a pious and honest person, and there aren't many of them, what is the value?
without being Krishna conscious. Of course, it's better to be a pious and honest person than a politician. But what is the value of anything without Krishna bhakti? That we can understand by reading Srimad Bhagavatam. So he may... Oh, politician, you're getting upset? You're leaving? Don't like what we're saying? Okay, sorry. Make sure she gets some prasadam. Sorry, but not sorry, we have to say. So he may say, well, okay, then what's the use of reading Bhagavatam? Because we just learned the essence that you have to be a devotee. But from Bhagavatam, we will get bhakti. Srimad Bhagavatam is bhakti in literary form. Is Bhagavan in literary form. So by studying Bhagavatam, especially with Srila Prabhupada's commentary, then we'll get inspiration in bhakti, we'll get knowledge of bhakti, and we'll be able to understand that there's nothing in this world of any value except fully surrendering to Krishna. So, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada who has given us all these things. Actually, this 11th canto is translated by some of Srila Prabhupada's followers. And some of these verses, Srila Prabhupada also translated, some of these verses which I quoted this evening, because they also appear within purports of Srila Prabhupada in cantos prior to this, and are also quoted in the text of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I said there's no book of any value but Srimad Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Charitamrita gives the essence and of Bhagavatam and the insight by which to understand what is the actual message of Bhagavatam. So, read. People don't get time in the modern age. They're just work, 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 work. That's all. Work till you drop. And then again they'll pick you up and make you work some more. That's modern life. So, what's the cure for modern life? Go to the farm. Go and join Bhakti Raghav Maharaj on his farm. That's what to do. That's what Prabhupada said. There's no need to live like a sophisticated ass in the city. Live simply. Grow your own food, chant Hare Krishna, study Srimad Bhagavatam, associate with devotees, and be happy and go back to Godhead. Any question about this, please? Srila Prabhupada once said that if you want to go back to Godhead, you should take birth in Vrindavan. Where and when did Prabhupada say this? I'm not aware of this. You heard from devotees and you're not sure. I didn't hear it from anyone, I just heard it from you. And I'm not sure also. In fact, I'm quite sure that Prabhupada didn't say that, because we just read a verse from Bhagavatam. I'll read it again. Bhaktyaham ekaya grahya shraddhaya atma priya satam bhakti punati mannishta svapakana api sambhavat. By practicing unalloyed devotional service with full faith in me, one can attain me, Krishna says. He didn't say by taking birth in Vrindavan. By engaging in such devotional service, even the dog eaters can become purified from the contamination of their low birth. Now, ultimately, one who is perfect in devotional service in this world, yadrishi, yadrishi, shraddha, siddhi, bhavati, tadrishi. If they've been cultivating devotional service with the aim of serving Krishna in Vrindavan, then they will take birth in Vrindavan, in one of the Vrindavan manifest, Bhoma Vrindavan, one of the Vrindavan manifested in one of the material universes, and get trained how to
serve Krishna in Vrindavan. But that comes, that means we've already, that's already perfection in itself. It's not that you get perfection by taking birth in Vrindavan, necessarily. And practically speaking, if we were to bring, if we were to appoint the all the residents of Vrindavan as they are today, without discrimination, to run our temples and run the affairs of ISKCON, it would just become totally corrupt. In fact, it happened at one point that one local Brahmin somehow or other got control of the ISKCON Vrindavan and the guest house. Probably he was running the whole thing. He had a brothel going on in the guest house and all kinds of things. So it's not necessarily that birth in Vrindavan, of course that's elevated, but it's birth by hearing from Shastra, surrender to Guru, that is better than birth in Vrindavan. Once some of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they were at one of the temples in Vrindavan, they were from the western countries. And the pujaris, seeing the devoted manner in which they were taking darshan, one of the pujaris said to them that because of your devotion, in your next birth you can be born in Vrindavan. So the devotees, they met Srila Prabhupada and told them that the pujari had told them that. And Prabhupada said that you should have told him that because of your devotion, in your next birth, you can be born in the Western countries and join the Hare Krishna movement for preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world. This is a better situation. We're not saying that everyone in Vrindavan is corrupt, but superficially it's the culture of Vrindavan is one of bhakti, and there are many good devotees, no doubt. But the general UP culture is very influential there. And that part of UP, in Mathura district, not a day goes by without someone being murdered. I think it's like 10 a day or something. Land disputes and this and that. So we shouldn't naively think that everyone who's born in Vrindavan is manifesting the behavior of a pure devotee, because it's not a fact. Yeah. I get so many questions about offense. Someone asked me about that last night. I spoke about that. Why don't you give last night's recording? You can listen to that. There's all this thing, you know, offense, some kind of fear mentality. Rather, we should stress serving devotees, loving devotees, instead of this offense, and then we all become so afraid. And it's this fear, it's more like the fear mentality that's there in Christianity or Islam. Our process is more positive. I also spoke last night when someone asked me a question about offenses, about how we stress so much not to fault find, to the extent that even when something's obviously wrong and should be pointed out, we don't say it because we don't want to find faults. And that's ridiculous. Offense is caused by an offensive mentality. If there's not an offensive mentality, then there cannot be any serious offense. It's more a matter of attitude. By mistake, if one does something wrong, then apologize and go on with life.
If you've really done something very seriously wrong, then you'll have to see how to rectify it. But in general, this is not the society for Vaishnava Aparada. I don't see that there's like, you know, so much. It's like an everyday affair that, you know, devotees are cursing each other and beating each other, cheating each other. If they are, there's something seriously wrong. If it was like that, I don't think you'd all be coming here, would you? Why would you come here if it was like that? So, avoid offenses, yeah, but don't get so much hung up about this. Offense. We talk about offense so much. Why? Better to talk about how to better serve Krishna and his devotees. Don't get in a whole big mental trip about offenses. So, Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.